faith and love on the airwaves. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
It is 657 AM, Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Gave you the sounds of Michael David. How great, and how great is our God. We are called his sons, we are called his daughters, we are royal, we are a royal priesthood. And it's because of how great he is, how much he loves us. My mind cannot comprehend. I try to think about it. Maroguri, gore mara re ratua jwang. Mara, hey, bona, his love goes beyond the comprehension of my mind. It blows my mind away. And talking about the love that blows one's mind away, I'm talking to Mama Dr. Eva Siobi. And before I greet her, hello to our beautiful queen, Tsulu Motsepe. Hello, hello, hello. And also, she is also greeting Mama Dr. Eva Siobi. Hi, Ma. Hi, my beautiful queen.
Hi, Bongong. How are you?
I'm blessed of the Lord. Did Mama put me on speaker? Am I on speaker?
Yeah, you are on speaker, but now no more on speaker.
Ah, thank you. Okay. thank you. Yes, bongela. Ma, the love of the Lord is amazing. And I think this time around, one feels it. It's like it's real. It's there. And I think that not only us who are in Christ feel his love during the season, but even those ones who do not know Jesus Christ feel his love during this time, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think also this time, I must say God in his own calendar, he made sure that we have a time like this. Mm. It might not be accurate dates, but God wanted us to have a time like this so that we as a church, we should see ourselves doing what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:25, verse 20, where he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, mm-hmm. as though God were pleading through us. Mm-hmm. That we implore people on his behalf that they should be reconciled to him because now God is no longer counting any sin against anybody. People have got to know that, and how I wish we had this loud speaker to tell the whole world that, guys, you don't have to be against God or think that God is against you. You don't have to labor. You don't have to do anything to impress God because a price has been paid. Mm. And so all what we need to do is to receive this price on our behalf and step into the love of God, being sons of God, being reconciled to him, and having him as a father who would love us and never see ourselves abandoned, forsaken, being on our own, and being at a loss, and finding ourselves to be harassed by Satan, the enemy, the way he wants, and diseases coming upon us the way they want. We should know that we are people who are loved by God, who have been set free. Mm. Yeah, that's why we are talking about redemption, Sibongile, because people are bound, people are oppressed, people are in pain, people are wounded. Others are so distressed that they don't know what to do. And we have, by God's grace, seen the light, you know, in Christ Jesus. And so we have got to tell people, hey, guys, there is deliverance. There is a way out of this prison. Mm. The Bible says that the whole world, actually, we don't see it because we are able to go to shops, buy and do stuff, and we think we are free. No, the Bible says the whole world is in prison of sin, and the whole world is burdened by law. And so Satan is out to take opportunity and accuse people, condemn them, bring them under the very arm of guilt and shame.
Mm.
And others are so distressed. That's why we find that there are high figures of suicide or people who are attempting suicide because people see and live as if there's no way out of this prison.
Eish.
But now I want to say there is a way out.
Mm.
There is a way out.
There's an escape.
Yes, God has purchased.
Mm.
God has purchased He's paid our ransom. You know, I was just looking through this, what do they call this? The Noah Webster's Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
It says that redemption is a purchase of captured goods. People who are captured, prisoners, is the act of procuring the deliverance of persons or things from the possession and power of their captors by the payment of an equivalent price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is how powerful redemption is. It is addressing exactly where most of us were and where other people are still at, and we are saying there is a price which has been paid equivalent, even more than that of what you are suffering.
Yeah.
So you don't have to suffer. You don't have to. You were saying earlier on, we wake up and say, yo, I'm ugly, I'm fat.
Ish.
Yo, I wish I did not have this type of nose.
Ish.
How I wish I was a little bit taller.
Mm.
Oh, how I wish. You know, you wake up already in a mode of self-condemnation.
Mm.
You know,
that's
how this big prison is. You've done nothing, but when you wake up, all of a sudden, you see something is wrong. If it is not wrong in your body, it is wrong in your life. You know, it is wrong in how you made a certain choice. I say at church, we want to correct. You know, you come into church, all of a sudden you see this flower should have been placed not at this angle. It should have been placed there. Why did they put this? Why are we, you know, we our eye, because of the mode of operation in this big prison called the evil world, we are bound just to see wrong.
Ish.
When we correct each other, what do I say to you? Why are you, what's wrong with you? That's what I say.
Yeah.
I don't say, no, this you did something wrong. No, what's wrong with you? What's going on in your life? And so we this prison has so a kind of a pressed us and made us to be people who are cultured in seeing wrong.
Yeah.
In seeing wrong.
Yeah.
And because we see wrong, that's when now condemnation plays
comes.
Games
yeah.
with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. From well, it's so wrong how I'm writing. How I wish I had this handwriting.
Ish.
And so on. There's nothing. Your car is wrong. There's something wrong. There's something wrong with this house.
Mm.
There's something wrong with this child. There's something wrong with... So condemnation is prevalent.
Mm.
Self-condemnation or condemning other people or condemning the system, the government. Not that we've got to aim for perfection, but this system, we are conditioned, we have been trained, and we are all on a track of saying something
is wrong. Yeah.
Yes, it is wrong because we are in the prison, and maybe we should read it as Bongile.
Okay.
In the book of Galatians. Let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 3. All right. Mm-hmm. And then let me find the scripture for you. Galatians chapter 3. We should read from verse 23.
Okay.
Okay, let's read from verse 21. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promise? I'm reading in the NLT. Absolutely not. If the law could give us a new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we are all prisoners of sin. Mm-hmm. The whole world is in sin.
Mm-hmm.
So we receive God's promise of freedom mm-hmm. only by believing in Christ Jesus. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were all placed under the guard of the law. We're kept in protective custody,
mm-hmm.
so to speak.
Right.
Until the way of faith was revealed,
hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So now here it says nobody escapes. All of us.
I love your vision.
We are in this big prison.
I love your vision.
What? Yeah. This is the NLT. Puts it so clearly.
Yeah.
That we are in this big prison, all of us,
mm.
and our custodian, our guard in this prison is the law. Yeah? So that's why we are quick to see offense, because somehow or other, our perception, mm. our eye comes from the angle of law. You know, that's why you are right or you are wrong.
Mm.
I do what is right or I do what is wrong. And so most of the people, because of sin, we are on the wrong side.
Mm.
So that's why somebody will say, always, you see me wrong. Always we see wrong in other people. We accuse other people of the wrong which has happened. And so it's always wrong, yeah, because of the prison, okay?
Mm.
So I think if we all understand that, then we can now appreciate salvation.
Mm.
And then we can appreciate that there is seriously no way out.
Mm.
Because in this prison, the only way to come out of it is a price of life to life, life for life.
Mm.
You know, you can't be bought out by money. You can't be bought out by your uncle. You can't be bought out by any other man except if that man is holy, blameless,
mm.
pure, without sin whatsoever. We needed that type of a down payment. We needed a person like that. That's why it's not enough to have our ancestors, it's not enough to have any blood of goats, of sheep. It's not enough having a way of somebody who wakes up and says, I can take you out of this prison. It's
mm.
not true.
Mm.
This prison, for us to come out of it,
mm.
it is only when a down payment of somebody who is like us, but who does not have sin in
mm.
themselves
mm.
at all.
Mm.
That's the only price. Because as it says here, when we need to be redeemed, a down payment of an equivalent.
Mm.
So what does it mean? Life for life. If somebody has got to deliver my life, then it means he has got to pay with their own life. But that life, the system, God's system of justice, demands that the person who's going to pay for that life must be perfect.
Hmm.
So in Leviticus 17, verse 11,
hmm.
Moses writes, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you the blood upon the altar to make atonement for our souls.
Mm.
For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul.
Yeah.
So that is God's system of justice.
Hmm.
Satan knows about it. Nobody is going to come out of this prison until this requirement of the law to be justified, to justify our release, has got to be met. And the Bible says it has got to be life for life. And now, the writer of the Hebrews tells us, let's go now to Hebrews chapter, maybe now you should read.
I love your vision. I love your vision because simplifies. Oh.
You love my vision?
Yeah,
okay.
I need to get
it. In my vision.
Yeah.
Let me read it then in my vision, Hebrews chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are reading from verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he read, that is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you, God, now, you do not want animal sacrifice or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You are not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. I like that.
Mm.
Or other offerings for sin. Whatever, whether it's a chicken, goat, ancestor, somebody who claims to be God, he says God was not pleased with all those offerings.
Mm.
Then I said, Jesus said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures. Now, verse 8, Hebrews 10. First, Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings. Now we're talking about what Jews used to do.
Mm.
Or other offerings for sin. Nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses. Then he said, look, I have come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant of what the Jews used to offer in order for them to be acceptable to God. Jesus cancels it. It has been cancelled. Right? Mm. So the first covenant has been cancelled in order to put the second covenant into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Why? God made that body which he gave to Christ in order to fit the requirements of the law to set the prisoners free. Okay? So God had to. That's why we say salvation is for free, but God paid for it himself. So God had to speak to himself. You said when you started the program earlier on, when God made us, he made us with a pattern. He made us having a picture in mind of himself, perfection. So when now man was in trouble in this big prison of sin, which Satan now put everybody under, according also to Romans chapter 5, it says that everybody from Adam, everybody sinned, and sin ran genetically from Adam to all of us. So by one man, the whole world was put under death. And so God had to talk to himself. How do we get these people out? Because none of them is born righteous.
Yeah.
All of us, we've got a gene which is sinful. And so God had to talk to himself. And so God prepared the body for himself. And he asked the son, would you go on behalf of these people? And the son said, yes, I'll go for your will to be complete, to be done, to set this creation of yours free. We must know that his dying on the cross of Calvary was not just for man, but it was for the whole creation, because the whole creation is in trouble of sin and death. And so God had to say, I will prepare this body, and you will take the body, and you will then be the sacrifice. And Jesus agreed, as we read in the book of Hebrews. Yes, I will do that.
Wow.
And the Bible says, once again, in the book of Hebrews, it says to us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise had to share in our same flesh and blood. So now Jesus comes with his flesh and blood, knowing, you see, all of us, we are born, but we are not born to die. God wants us to be born so we can receive Jesus and be born again to eternal life. But now Jesus, he died. He was born for dying. He knew, I'm going to die. He knew this body has got to be a sacrifice. So from the point of the point when he was born, that's why he had to be born differently from us, though he looks like us. He had to be born not out of a seed of a man who had the gene of sin. He was born out of a seed of the Holy Spirit, who was holy and put on the garment of the flesh through the body of, through the cells of Mary. But the seed is a seed of the Holy Spirit. So he became different, though he was man like all of us.
Yeah.
But he was perfect without any blemish as he walked the earth, right? So when he dies now a perfect sacrifice. He dies a sacrifice without blemish, without defect. And so he now becomes the acceptable sacrifice for humanity, for the whole world, and for the creation, being reconciled back to God by the blood of Jesus. So that now brings us to the scripture, which I would like us to read in the book of First Peter. I know that you spoke about Titus. We are going there to Titus, but I first want us to read in 1 Peter chapter 1, reading verse 18, because most of us that we are struggling with this genetic inheritance of sin.
It's
all in the genes. It's all in our family. You know, we are like that. And if we are like that, it sounds like it's a serious sentence. Our genes have sentenced us. And it's true, the genes have sentenced us because we are genetic human beings. And so here, Peter...
Are we reading it until verses 21 or just 18?
Just 18 and 19.
Okay.
You want to read that?
No.
Yeah, you can read it.
It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Yeah. So that's how far the blood of Jesus redeems us. It goes into our bloodline, into our genetic inheritance. All those traits which are faltered and are altered because of sin, the blood of Jesus goes right up till there to deliver us. That's what, for me, it's so beautiful, because as I said, Satan accuses us of all these genetic offenses which our forefathers have done, you know, things which we don't know, which we are so oblivious of, but Satan knows about them, and Satan brings them before the throne of mercy and begins to accuse our families, accuse our lives today for things which happened then, which we have no clue about. Mm-hmm. So now the blood of Jesus speaks into that, mm-hmm, to say, listen, those genetic abrasions, I took them on the cross of Calvary, so that abazalwane abantu who are listening can hear me well. Read Colossians Sibongile chapter 2.
Colossians chapter 2.
Let's read verse 14 to 15. Yeah.
Okay.
Colossians chapter 2.
It says, having wiped...
14 to 15.
Having
14,
wiped, yeah, 14. I'm starting on 14. Having wiped out, okay, the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it.
Yeah, yeah, there were written requirements, mm, which stands against us. Those written requirements were in the law, and that law is also engraved in even in our genes.
Mm.
You know, so our genes stands against the law. Our genes faltering,
mm,
causes now the law to accuse us,
mm,
that you have not done right, la.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what Jesus did was on the cross, he took all those written codes. That's why the Bible says he canceled the first covenant.
Yeah.
He canceled its curses and its demands, because now it says, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that is in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, right? From, I think, verse 15, the whole of it to 68, all those are consequences of our genetic abrasion. If your gene is not going to do right, know that this is what's going to happen. Some of you are going to suffer from allergies. Others are going to suffer
diabetes,
from diseases of the chest, having your chest getting tight. Some of you are going, because that law which stood against us, it found power,
but it was nullified.
Genetic abrasion.
And it was nullified at the cross.
So it was nullified. Mm. And now you have, I'm not just speaking medicine, I'm speaking medicine mixed with the word of God. That now here it says Jesus took all that away, took all those accusations, took all those. He put them away on the cross. When he did that, he was disarming Satan from now standing to accuse us.
Mm.
He was disarming all the principalities and powers to say, you can no longer accuse these people.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, making him who? An advocate. Right?
Mm. Mm.
So, you go now to first John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Read for us.
I'm going
first
there.
John,
first John
chapter 2, verse 1 and 2.
Why my Bible doesn't want a first John, ma'am? I don't know. Can I throw it back to you?
I think you can take it back to the publisher.
It refuses to first John. Can I
first
just
John 2, verse
can I allow
one
you,
and 2.
Can I allow you, ma'am, to just take us through it?
Okay.
Yeah.
My children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have what? An advocate.
Mm.
You know, when Jesus took all these sins now away, threw them and made a public spectacle of the Satan, he became our advocate with the Father.
Mm.
So you see what happened on the cross of Calvary all the miserable brutality Jesus faced was all legal. It's now a legal matter. It's not just a theological matter. It's a legal matter in the courts of heaven.
Yes.
And so we need that advocate now who's going to stand on our behalf with the Father, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2. And he himself is the propitiation of our sins. Listen to that. And not for ours only, but what? But
also for the whole world.
For the whole world. Meaning that from the beginning of Adam, God dealt with all that until now and even tomorrow until Jesus comes.
Amen.
He dealt with all those sins. He removed the sting. That's why he says in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, in this world you might face all sorts of tribulations, but fear not, because what? In me you'll have peace. I have overcome the world. I've taken the sting which the world and its curses brings to people. I've removed it. And even if you might have so many other challenges, but they will never overcome you. Because why? He triumphed over them by the cross of Calvary, and he made a public spectacle of them. Yeah. And so this is why when he shows Paul the Holy Communion, right? Let's go to First Corinthians now, chapter 11. When he says to Paul, showing him how to take the Holy Communion, he says in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, right? So he says, when we partake of the Holy Communion, we are proclaiming, we are reminding, we as Christians, those who have received this generous gift of salvation by faith through grace, by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, we should declare, we speak, we remind the principalities and powers that you have been actually defeated. Actually, Colossians 2:15 should be our recitation.
Yeah.
Jesus defeated you. He made a public spectacle of them. You.
Yeah.
And he triumphed over you. And you can no more have me as a prisoner of war in your prison when I Satan. You can no longer all principalities and powers. That's the power of redemption. So God redeemed us from our father's inheritances. He redeemed, he cleansed us, and all what we've got to do is to see him in that light, understand what he has done. You know, Jesus says, when we are in a spiritual warfare, it's not about how the noise we make, it's not about what we say. No, it is how we say it according to the legalities of the word of
God,
we shall overcome.
We
overcome like that. So you say, Father, say you see yourself in court, Satan is holding all the sins of your forefathers and all what you've done. So you say, Lord, I agree. I might not know the details. My forefathers have sinned against you. I agree. I stand in agreement as charged. And then you say, Lord Jesus, you are my advocate. Let your blood speak on my behalf. I receive the victory, which you, the price you paid, the ransom you paid on Calvary. I receive the blood of Jesus, as that blood speaks on my behalf and the behalf of my family.
Wow.
And I say, Lord,
okay,
because of the blood of Jesus, I am declared free. I'm acquitted out of this accusation of Satan, and I am being declared justified.
All righty then.
I'm now righteous, and you receive it. And as you receive that,
I'm going to ask Mama to pause right there. I'm just going to ask Mama to pause right there. Pause right there. We are coming back. We are coming back. Let's pause just right there, Mama. We are coming back.
You're at 657 AM, radio caring 24 hours a day.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.